It's a whole lot of things, but the main thing is, it's the news, according to me. Good morning. It's Monday morning. This morning is Monday morning. It's not Monday evening this morning. It's Monday morning this morning. But May 16th at 7:49, almost 7:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Atlanta, Georgia, where I am currently holding up. Holding out, holding up, hold up here in Atlanta. So many things going on in the world, and today I've decided to make it I'm going to talk about all the positive stuff in the news. And so I'll just get started right on that right away. First of all, it's what's in my cup. I've got, which cup do you want? Well, there's really only one cup here this morning. There's one cup that has tea, sweet tea. It's Wendy's sweet tea, actually. And then I have a little half a bottle of milk here left from breakfast the other morning. I still got half a thing of. Yeah, it's still good. And I got this juice in my thermos. I'm running low on juice now, so I'm probably going to end up putting the tea. It's like a little fusion blend. There, that's all good. It's all good. I'm probably going to end up putting the tea in with the juice at some point this morning, because I'm going to probably make myself an iced chai later on. I have to, it's going to be a fairly short show, probably 30 minutes or so. I have another thing I have to go to. I was going to get up early this morning and go in early and have a meeting, but I think I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, I basically will be heading back home again. Back home again in Indiana. I'm not going to break into song here this morning yet. A little too early for that. And my neighbors in the hotel here can probably hear me. In the background, you probably hear the air conditioner running. And there's a reason the air conditioner is running. That reason is because it's hot here. It's warm. I'm trying to keep it cooled down. Here in the room, at least. A lot of stuff happening in the news. And I was just kind of dinking through some of the, you know, Sunday evenings are usually kind of slow news times to some degree. I was trying to watch Mark Levin last night, and the only problem with watching regular television is you can't speed it up. Like if I watch YouTube, I can actually, you know, I can hit the 1.25 or the 1.5 button, and I can watch a lot more in less time. Well, last night, I was trying to watch, you know, Mark Levin. He looked like he was really laying into. He started in with his monologue, and it was really good. And then about 2 or 3 minutes into it, he's just starting to kind of get, you know how he gets wound up. He ends up hollering. He starts getting like this, and he starts talking like, you know. He wasn't quite there yet. And zing, Fox News alert. All this stuff starts happening. Like as if there's, you know, we've got to know what they're saying. One person, now this it's, you know, a tragic shooting in California. Of course, now you have a shooting in New York and you have a shooting in California. Both have extremely, you know, strict gun laws. And yet they right away they were saying, well, these guns are coming over from Pennsylvania. This is the same argument we get in Chicago. These guns are coming from Indiana. Oh, okay. That's why we have shootings in Indiana, I guess. That's why Indiana's just, it's constantly, you know, just nothing but shoot-ups. Now, I will say that the Gary, Indiana area has, actually the opposite is true there, if you want to know the truth about the whole thing. Most of the crime and gang activity comes down from Chicago, and they kind of use Gary as a bedroom town to get away from the Chicago area. And it's the crime that comes across the line. It's not, again, it's not the gun that did something wrong here. It's the people wielding the gun. Now, this guy, this wacko in Buffalo shooting. This is weird. You know, we get all this stuff coming from the FBI about white supremacists being the biggest threat to America. We don't hear much about the drug cartels and the fentanyl and all the other things that are happening on our border and the way that's just the crime and the over 50 known terrorist watch list individuals have come across the border and disappeared into our country. But they're not a problem. It's this white supremacist group, which apparently is an 18-year-old individual who's been psych-evaled several times over the last couple of years and been just left alone. They don't do anything with the guy. And apparently he decides to just open fire. The California incident that they interrupted Mark Levin for was another bizarre one, where a guy just comes into a church meeting. I guess it was like a church supper or dinner or something. I don't know what was going on there at the time. And then just stands up, pulls out a couple of pistols, and starts shooting people. I haven't heard this morning yet whether more than one person has died in that event. Tragically, it's a sad event. The news, we saw this and we forget, of course. Zucker, who at the time was in charge of CNN, I think, was having daily meetings about what they were going to have in their narrative and what they were going to put out there in the news. You know, last night's shooting, one dead, five shot. I think one of those was dead. I think four injured. I believe or there could have been five injured, one killed. And my first question was, how many have been shot in Chicago tonight? Does that matter? Do we interrupt our normal broadcast every 10 minutes when somebody's shot in a major city? A drive-by shooting, a random shooting, a robbery where someone dies? I know it's every life is a tragic loss. Every life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how bad you think you are. It's a tragic loss that we've lost you. Because each of you have potential. You're not just a waste of time or a waste of life. And yet we don't hear about those things. Because there is an agenda. And this is where I struggle with the news here sometimes, because so much of what we hear and what we get runs through a filter of what do we want the narrative to be today. This is, I believe, one of the reasons Twitter, when it was in its frontier days, was such a popular platform, because it gave everybody the opportunity to get out there and just punch out an opinion. The whole thing was based on free speech. And if something was happening with, you know, in your world, you could post that. Of course, that gave rise to lots of phony stuff. I remember right after the election in 2016, I kept getting, well, this was mostly on Facebook because I'm not a big Twitter user. I kept getting these posts from people who were, and are, I guess, in my family through marriage and divorce and whatever else. Some of them, one of them in particular, very left-wing, extreme, I would say, could be a member of the squad. She would qualify for that. The she was posting several times. She was sharing videos of people who were experiencing racial harassment. The one that stands out at the moment, right away, this one that was in southern Indiana, just south of Indianapolis, this lady was walking around her house. I think she was renting this home. And she had a very nice car, and the house was nice. I mean, it's renting a house is not cheap, regardless of where you are. It's renting an apartment might be cheap, but renting a house is not cheap. And it wasn't a fancy house. It was just a prefab house, but it was fairly new, and the car was certainly fairly new. She was walking around, and on the side of the house was painted some racial slurs. And then she walked around, showed her gas tank. Opened up the lid on her gas tank. She wasn't talking. She just walking around showing all this stuff. And then she walked around to the side of her car, opened up her little gas filler lid thing, cover thing, and then showed that there was sugar around the outside of her gas tank filler tube. And as I was watching this, I just thought, this isn't real. This has got to be fake. It's too convenient. There's something not right here. For one, she wasn't nervous. She wasn't scared. She was just walking around very calmly showing all this stuff. And of course, the whole reason for this posting was because there was a GoFundMe to help her, because she needed to move. She was scared and she needed to move back home. I don't know where home was. I think home was south somewhere, further south. I'm not sure where. I believe it was down at Kentucky or Tennessee. And of course, I think she raised like $190,000 or some ridiculous amount of money. Only to find out that the whole thing was a setup. The whole thing was a scam. And it's the Jesse Smollett syndrome, basically. It happens and it keeps happening, and it's still happening these days, by individuals who want to take advantage of the rhetoric coming from the leftists. What concerns me and troubles me is when the FBI, who gets everything wrong, the CIA, they protected us on 9/11, didn't they? They were all over that. Yeah, they're so smart, they're so on top of it that they didn't stop that. They didn't stop the bombing of the towers in the 90s. Early 90s as well. I think it was earlier than that, maybe the 80s. I don't know. Those guys drove that truck down in the basement, tried to blow the place up. I think that they're better at doing, and I sound like an Alex Jones guy now. They're better at false flags than they are at actual, real. Events that take place, and there are, I'm not talking about the field agents necessarily. I'm talking about the upper echelon, those who are in charge. They just need to clean house there, folks. The FBI is a great institution. It's being poorly run. There's no question about that. In my opinion, it's a scandal. It's a scandalous event. Taking place right now in our alphabet soup organizations. If you haven't heard the little speech that Marjorie Taylor Greene gave, I've always thought she was a little bit out there. She's a little bit out there. But I tend to agree with what she says. Now this Kate, is it Caitlin? What's her name? That's a lady who's running, I think, in New York against Mummert Oz or whatever, Dr. Oz. You know, most of what she has said, I probably agree with. And I was reading the comment. She was being interviewed, I think, by Shannon Bream on Fox recently. And Shannon was trying to ask her questions. And, of course, she just basically said, you can go to my website. All these questions that you're asking me, the answers are all right there. I posted everything. And then she asks her about some of the comments that she's made in the past. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised to see the comments on the posting were 97% were very positive supporters, agreeing with most of the things she said. And I have to say, the things that she said, especially about Obama and his Muslim background and the things, I have to agree with her. Let's, for instance, we were told for 8 years that Obama was a Christian, right? They didn't make a big deal out of it. They just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And at one point he did slip up and say his Muslim faith. There is, when a person goes converts, I have to be, maybe not everybody, but typically, I would say, you know, most of the time, if someone is a believer, a follower of Messiah, believer in Yeshua, calls themselves a Christian, if they are a Christian, they have a testimony. Now, be it, maybe they weren't, you know, in prison and on drugs and they finally got cleaned up and now they're a Christian. That it may not be that, you know, that radical of a conversion. Maybe they grew up in the church and at some point they just, you know, they became a member of the church and they got baptized and they realized, you know, this is the life that they want to live is they want to follow his teachings and his word and his spirit and his, and they just are this just gradual growing experience in their faith. It may not be some drastic, you know, thing that happens for some people. But if you convert from Islam, from being a Muslim to being a Christian, this is a pretty radical change. Fundamentally and foundationally at its core, you will have a testimony of why you converted. There is no record anywhere of Obama sharing his testimony of why he came to Christ. Nothing. Zero. I dare you to try to find it because it's not there. I challenge you. Now, I don't know that he was a devout Muslim, but he certainly was not a devout Christian. Christianity was not at the core of his beliefs. The church that he attended in Chicago did not profess the Christ of the Bible. And I will show you, you can find that on their website. There's a lot of screenshots taken at that time of the church that he was going to, and it was a. If you look into BLT, not bacon, lettuce, and tomato, but Black Liberation Theology, that's more what the church was about than anything else. And the pastor, supposedly, I'll call him a pastor there, the head of the organization there, made it very clear prior to and after Obama's election, he made it very clear that, yes, they have a lot of Muslims that attend that church. Because there is no, it is not about the Messiah. It's not about Judeo-Christianity at all. Obama probably had more in common with Louis Farrakhan And when this woman, I wish I knew her name. Is it Caitlin or Kat? I think her last name begins with a K. I'm trying to remember actually what her name is. There's three people running, and it's Dr. Oz. Of course, he's the popular, the known entity. Now, my understanding is she's kind of surging in the polls. I think she's surging in the polls because people are finding out who she is. They're hearing about her statements, and they're resonating with that. It's actually, yeah, it's Pennsylvania. Did I say Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania is where she's running. Let me look for a moment and see if I can find, figure out what her name is. I'll just do this. I'm going to just go do a search here. I'll duck, go, because you know how that goes. Pennsylvania. Here we go. Pennsylvania primary 2022. This should tell me everything I need to know. Of course, there's nothing about voter guide, Pennsylvania primary 2022. Let's see what we got here. Where is it? Yeah, there's governor. Let's see, U.S. Senate. I think it's the Senate race here is what we're looking at. Yeah, let's just look at that. Oh, of course, my computer's going slow now, of course. Kathy Barnett, that's it. Kathy Barnett, not Caitlin. Kathy Barnett. I believe that tomorrow is the date of the primary, I believe. Am I looking at this right? Yeah. Now, of course, I'm sure they have early voting and all that stuff for the primary. It's hard telling, but they have U.S. Senate. The districts are two districts. GOP primary, AP was. Yeah, I don't. So, huh? John Fetterman. There was a Fetterman that had a stroke. I don't know whether that was the same Fetterman or if that was another politician in someplace else. Kathy Barnett, of course, is going up against. I don't even see him on here now. Jeff Bartos, Sean Gale. Malcolm Kane. I don't see Dr. Oz even on here. Where did he go? I thought he was running against them here. I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, I just some of the things that she said about Obama, I have to say, I think she was right. And from what I can understand, she just seems like she's a grassroots candidate. Somebody who, yeah, maybe she's got some abrasive ways of saying things, but I can't say that I can argue against what she's saying. It's just a kind of a weird, kind of like the whole Trump thing. I mean, I'm looking at people who are anti-establishment right now because the establishment has got us into this mess. Along with the $40 billion, in fact, I was getting to talk about this with the alphabet soup organizations, along with the $40 billion that are going, the one thing that's going to, and I don't know if it's $40 billion or $60 billion, or if these are two different bills, I don't know which, because I know that I think it's a $40 billion bill with a $60 billion overrun, of course. That's usually the way it goes. Because, you know, you might just need $20 billion more just to throw at it, just throw stuff at it. MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she, it was interesting, she did this whole thing where she said, we're giving this much money to Ukraine and we have babies without formula. We have this much money going to Ukraine. She just kept going on with one thing after another. One of the expenditures is over, I think it's over $1 billion, $1.2 billion, I think, for undisclosed funds going to the CIA working in Ukraine. You know, you have to back up and look at that. And of course, and then she lays right into it. She says, for the money laundering that involves in so many of our politicians, she knows what's going on there. And that's exactly what's happened. That's what Joe Biden was involved in. That's what his son Hunter was involved in. Was this whole thing with Ukraine. And all of a sudden, we're sending billions of dollars there, not taking money from oligarchs that Joe Biden's son. We're not seizing funds and seizing yachts and planes from the oligarchs that were doing business with Hunter Biden from Russia. It's funny how that works out. This is the kind of stuff, this is the kind of corruption that just continues to just fester in our country. There have been several things over the weekend that just have just incensed me, and I have a tendency to move on from them. I don't tend to let it grate at me too much, which is why I'm showing up this morning with basically, I'm just starting another day. Another day in paradise here. But I do want to, by the end of the day today, it's going to be interesting. There's a trial starting today on the Sussman trial. So those of you who haven't heard about that. This is, some people are really going on like this is really a big deal. And I'm not holding my breath here. It's slippery. The Clintons are slippery. And they've gotten away with so much. And of course, their lawyers are always, they always pad themselves with lawyers around them and say, well, these are what my lawyers told me to do. Or this is what my lawyer did. I just paid them to do this. They didn't represent me in this situation. The one thing that when Hillary was being called about the Benghazi, called on the carpet with Benghazi, she was being asked about all the cell phones and stuff that were destroyed and all the emails that were destroyed, that were deleted. She said, well, these are what I just did what my lawyers told me to do. I deleted these emails because the lawyers told me to do it. Well, then you and your lawyers need to go to prison because you were subpoenaed for your emails and then someone else told you to delete them and that's what you did. So your lawyers gave you bad counsel, but they should be disbarred and go to prison. But you know what? You should too. Because you hired the slimy people and you know that you're a lawyer yourself. You should know better. She's actually disbarred. But she was a lawyer. She should know better. On the advice of counsel, I did this on the advice of counsel. That's supposed to protect them. That's why they do this stuff. They hire lawyers. They hire a lawyer who will tell them what they need to do, what crime they need to commit to be able to weasel out of this stuff. That's exactly what happened. That way they have plausible deniability. It is a scam, folks, and they play the game perfectly. Bill Clinton did it. Hillary has done it. And I don't doubt that she is able to do it in this particular situation again. Now, John Durham is a bit of a pit bull. However, at the end of the day, even if this guy is honest, goes after everything, and has been completely thorough and meticulous, and has gone after every little... Now, one of the things I like about the guy is that he doesn't get in the public eye and start making announcements like Jim Comey does. He's been very quiet. He hasn't made very many statements. All we find out about is the public things that are filed on behalf of the filings that he's publicly made. Because he has to. That's the way he has to go after things. Now, the real question is, has he chosen a side? Does he have an agenda? Is he being manipulated by people who do? Or, the other question is, once he finds out all this stuff and goes through all this process, will it go anywhere? Will the powers that be simply manipulate the work he's done, whether they take action on it or not? I mean, he's not all powerful in the situation. There's other people that he has to depend on following through. People like, you can have a case and be ready to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court just basically says, we're not doing it based on standing. You don't have standing. What? In other words, it's not going to go before the court. That's all they're saying. I'm not even going to hear the case. It's this is why we the court should never be considered as a political tool. They don't represent us. Believe it or not, they represent the law. And they are there to disseminate and discern the law and what it means and whether or not it is in contradiction to our rights. If it's bad law and it infringes on our rights in any way, they throw it down. They're not there to give us rights. They are the last line of defense to defend our rights. When Congress makes a law that's a bad law and it's challenged in the Supreme Court, they're there to strike it down. And this happens all the time. Congress comes up with laws that are actually infringing on our rights. Executive orders. We saw this all during COVID. Many of the executive orders infringed on our rights. But of course, it's your duty as as a citizen, as a member of the society, to do this. You're not a good citizen of society. It's your obligation to society to do this. No, it's not. No. It's not that. That's fine. You can say that all you want. You can't mandate it. And that's where I land on this issue. Many of the issues that we had over the whole COVID thing. Now, I do want to briefly mention that during COVID, I'm going to have to move my bumper music here a little bit because my show is going a little longer than I expected. I personally know of a couple individuals now who have had who've died unexpectedly from heart attacks. One of them is a member of the organization I do work for here, 41 years old. Unexpectedly just died about a month and a half ago. Another extended member of the family recently just passed as well, about my age, and he just was found at his home, passed away. They had to have an autopsy. They believe it was an aneurysm or heart attack. Haven't heard any more about that yet, but I'm curious as to whether or not he was vaccinated. There are some troubling statistics coming out. Epic Times is doing a very good job of finding doctors who are willing to come out and talk about some things. And I think we're going to find some interesting things out in the next couple of years. I think that it's going to be sadly, I'm afraid that there's going to be some problems associated with, of course, they're going to try to hide it. They're going to try to cover it up as much as they can. But we'll see what happens. In the middle of that, in the midst of that, in the rest of that, I hear my bumper music coming in. So what, I'm going to just say this. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. I hope you have a great week. I hope we have some positive news this week. God bless and take care. The God that we know and love is still on the throne. He's still in control. He's not going to leave us abandoned. Take care, everybody.